I don't think Washington's defense will be able to stop Saquon Barkley either. Cooper DeJean's come on.
Yes, he has.
I don't think this will be that close of a game. It's Eagles are only 4-point favorites, started as 3-point favorites. I think the Eagles have come on, and I think Washington is just, it's just, you know, a short week in Philadelphia. Too many, I think, pros for the Eagles when you're going head to head.
Yeah, no, I think.
Now, last time I said this, the Jets beat the Texans, so.
Right, now, but what you complained about is, like, I should have known that the road team doesn't win on Thursdays.
It's tough for road teams on Thursday nights.
Now, D.C. and Philly are not, that's not exactly a long road trip.
Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Thursday, November 14th, 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, 1 week away from the Utah High School State Championship football game, so it's the week before Thanksgiving. We're about 20 minutes away from Eagles Commanders, which we'll be watching during the show. I know you're very excited about that. Big game for the division.
Yeah, biggest regular season game that I can remember for many years.
Certainly involving Washington.
Yeah, definitely involving Washington. Yeah, I mean, I guess I meant for the Eagles and kind of our division. I'm sure that, you know, the 49ers and Rams have had some close calls and stuff. But yeah, you know, week 10 for it to be this, to feel like this big of a deal is fun.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So a lot going on there. I'm super excited to talk about that. As always, though, we got to do the ick of the week here.
Yes, we do.
And I'm pulling that up. Give me 1 second. I'm also trying to get in a bet for this game before.
While you're pulling that out, shout out to Lehigh's kicker. I'm sure you saw this. Missed the extra point in overtime against Corner Canyon.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So it was overtime, missed the extra point. And I'm not being sarcastic. We have a lot of sympathy for this because Cottonwood lost a state championship missing – maybe two extra points.
Our high school is the first game I ever went to, or the high school game, let's say championship game. Missed the extra point in regular time, so we go for two, get it, to just be back to where we were, and then miss the extra point in overtime.
Yeah.
Lose the game.
Absolutely brutal.
That's how they lost? That sucks.
Yeah. And Lehigh was, the only reason I know anything about Lehigh is because I think Hans Olsen has... son plays there, and he truly looks like an NFL lineman. He's just enormous.
They're good. They're like weirdly good now.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. I remember after that game that we went to. So the kicker is actually our friend's older brother, and for some reason we had like a party the day the school lost, or they had a party. Like we were in sixth grade, so we weren't really invited, but we were there. And the poor kid just cost the school a state championship, and then everyone was just at his house.
I mean, yeah, got it. Just really poor planning on that.
I would want to be nowhere but by myself.
It's kind of like, it's fine if they want to plan the party. You don't invite people to the party until you win.
Our little cousin who plays soccer at a community college in Wyoming, so it's not like a huge deal, but college soccer player, her team in the lost the playoff game to a low, like got upset by a lower seed, and it's her last game. So she like was throwing stuff. She was crying. It's an emotional thing.
For sure.
And then her mom was like, you should go talk to her. And I was like, she does not want to talk to anybody right now.
Yeah.
Like the nicest thing I could do is just let her be by herself.
Absolutely.
And then everybody went over and talked to her. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll say hi. But sometimes you just need to be by yourself and ride it out.
Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. That's a normal sit.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of writing it out, this week's ick, Matt.
I feel like you were excited about this one last week.
Well, I just am curious. I think they're getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Riding a bike. Now, I can relate to this one because when I lived in Chile, I like feel like I actually forgot how to ride a bike, and it took me like a week to remember, so I don't think it's like riding it. But sure. I feel like if a girl would have seen me try to ride a bike, that would have been an ick. It doesn't say fall off a bike, though. It just says ride the bike.
Well, yeah, maybe she doesn't like the spandex stuff. Maybe that's just not her thing.
Yeah. This game is in Philadelphia, right?
It is in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Maybe. So riding a bike, apparently. I actually would love to ride bike more, but Utah's not really a bike city.
No, it definitely is not.
No. Or Scottsdale, where I live before. San Francisco would have been, but it's so darn hilly. It's like super hard.
Really hilly, yeah. And it's hard to, I mean, I wasn't there a whole lot, but I can't imagine like a lot of like bike lane space there.
No, there's enough. I actually did ride my bike a little bit. Like for the church assignment I had to go, I don't remember if I was dropping off stuff or whatever, but to different people's houses.
Yeah.
And one time I rode it across the Golden Gate Bridge, like the run we did.
Oh, fun.
Cool. It was hard though. It was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
What is the best bike city? That might be a good top five down the road. Best bikeable cities, or at least
look it's it got to be one thing that our mom always talks about, who's traveled a lot, is that when she was in China, there was, or like in Beijing, she's always say there's one lane for cars, or one each way, and then about six car size lanes just for bikes. And then now, this was many, many years ago. Now I think it's flipped where there's one bike lane that I'm sure is small, and they've got cars filling out the rest of it. So not Beijing anymore.
I imagine Europe would have a lot of cities on there.
Yeah, like the Netherlands. Amsterdam, I've got to imagine, has been a good bike city.
Madrid's probably... No, but you could do Madrid. Sevilla in Spain you could do for sure. Rome is probably too busy.
Yeah.
But like Florence you could probably do.
Oxford was good on a bike, but that's almost too small to count.
Yeah.
So
I mean, obviously the smaller ones are going to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about football.
Let's do talk about
football. Shall we? So let's just start with, I guess let's go to the NFL since we're talking Eagles Commanders. So if I'm looking at the standings right, if the Commanders win this game, they would be basically tied. Like the Eagles are half game up on them, so they'd be, the Commanders would be half game up on the Eagles plus have the tiebreaker, or at least in the first game.
See, I thought the Commanders were half a game up on the Eagles right now.
No, Philly's 7-2, Commanders are 7-3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the Commanders lose, though, they'd be, I think, 3 games back or 2.5 games back and plus behind the 8-ball on the tiebreaker with Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So big game.
So really big game, yeah. Very important.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels hasn't looked the same since the rib injury. He... still good, but a little bit more inaccurate, running a little bit less. I don't think Washington's defense will be able to stop Saquon Barkley either. Cooper DeJean's come on.
Yes, he has.
I don't think this will be that close of a game. Eagles are only 4-point favorites, Stardust 3-point favorites. I think the Eagles have come on. I think Washington is just, short week in Philadelphia. Too many, I think, pros for the Eagles when you're going head-to-head.
Yeah, no, I think...
Now, last time I said this, the Jets beat the Texans, so...
Right, now, but what you complained about is, like, I should have known that the road team doesn't win on Thursdays.
It's tough for road teams on Thursday nights.
Now, D.C. and Philly are not... That's not exactly a long road trip.
No.
So, which is not... And I realize the travel's not all of it, but it is a big part of it.
And Dan Quinn's also been in that division, so he knows how to game plan against the Eagles more than... someone who is their first time playing the Eagles, first year head coach. So right. He's been playing them for years.
He has, but we did not have Saquon, who I realized was on the Giants, but we know how to use him. He hasn't played Saquon with blockers in front of him.
Yeah.
And then also, like you said, this defense is like Terry McLaurin's going to get a few catches for sure, but like I don't know who else is catching any balls for them.
You know, Zach Ertz could. In his homecoming.
And I love Zach Ertz. I would be happy if Zach Ertz got a touchdown. I wouldn't mind that at all.
You know, Mina Kimes pointed this out on her podcast. The Eagles have, it's either the highest rate or the second highest rate of running when the defense has two high safeties.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that anytime Washington has two high safeties, they're just checking to give Saquon the ball.
Uh-huh.
And then if they don't, they're just playing single high. That means single coverage basically for A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith. Like, Washington's defense, I just don't think has the horses. Even to scheme it up, I don't think they can do something crazy scheme-wise.
See, here's the thing. You say that, and that's why Eagles fans want to fire Nick Sirianni. Because it just... It should be totally unstoppable, the offense.
It kind of has been for a little bit.
It has been for a little bit. That's definitely true. I think, and Jalen's look a lot better, you know. Yeah. So that really helps. I think if Jalen can continue to hold on to the ball and not make turnovers, I think, you know, we'll just keep going up and up.
Do you have anything nice to say about Washington? Because they have done a lot better than all of us thought.
Yeah, they have done.
Daniels has been a lot better than we all thought.
Yeah, Daniels has been a bit better than we thought. Like you said, I think they're just in a little bit of a downswing right now, which is normal. It's not a bad thing. So yeah, 2 weeks ago, I would have been like you. I would have thought this game would have been a lot closer than I think it's going to be, right? And so I think it's just a matter, like you said, of it's not so much that I have bad things to say about Washington. It's just that I feel really, really good about the Eagles and what they have been doing. What concerns me is that they've played a lot of bad teams. And so it's like, okay, now we're going to play a good team and see how we do. We played, you know, like the Packers are good. I know you like the Packers. So it's not like we haven't played any bad teams yet. And the Tampa Bay thing was kind of a fluke. I don't know if we would have beaten Tampa Bay, but I feel like the performance was a fluke. I think that game ends up being a lot closer. We play them a little bit better than we might have.
You know, this is why when everyone before the season was like saying Chicago's going to make the playoffs, I was like, well, there's just the math isn't there because we thought two NFC East teams would get in. I think most people thought it was Eagles Cowboys instead of Eagles Commanders,
which is crazy.
But and I did say when I thought they were going to take Drake May, I was like, I think Washington's going to win the division. So
yeah,
there was signs there for Washington. In the NFC North, we assumed the Packers and Vikings were going to make it.
Right.
Or excuse me, Packers and Lions. Vikings have also come on as a possible team. NFC South, that's just one team. But Tampa and Atlanta look good now. Right. But we thought just one team in the South. And then the NFC West, we thought the worst team was going to be the Arizona Cardinals, who are in the first place now. But we thought the worst team was going to be at worst 7-10, 8-9. You know, so there's going to be two or three, you know, plus 500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many teams for Chicago to make it. And then now, I think it's worse than everybody thought it would be. But from a big picture perspective, in my head, it's like, of course they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, this is the best that I can recall a conference being.
It's close. Other than the Lions, top to, like 2-9 or whatever is very close.
Yeah.
I think we both think the Lions are right now step above everybody.
Yeah, as far as I want to see, if the Eagles can show me they're consistent through the rest of the season, I would be inclined to put them on that tier, but I definitely think, you know, Nick Sirianni's got to manage the clock better, you know, not be quite, he's risky in the wrong places, and so, whereas I feel like the Lions don't have any questions. I think the Lions are just good.
You know, the Eagles win this game, they're one game back from the Lions of the one seed. So that's not unrealistic. And yeah. I think you guys would much rather play in Philadelphia than in Detroit.
Right, yeah. But also, like, yeah, I would definitely rather play in Philadelphia than Detroit. But, like, what really I think that people need to take note of, and I'm not the first person to say it, but I think more people need to say it, good teams find a way to win when their quarterback throws five interceptions. Right, like if you can have things go bad and still win, that's one of the things that's like, oh, this is a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, well, on that note, Houston's been a bummer.
Yeah, they really have.
I don't think CJ Stroud is playing poorly. I think he's not getting protected. He's in second and long and third and long constantly. They're not generating positive, explosive plays in the run game. His best receiver's out, Nico Collins.
Second best receiver's out.
Stephon Diggs, yeah. Like, but when I watch CJ Stroud, I'm seeing him manipulate the pocket in a good way, throw with like I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff I saw last year. It's just a worse situation just from a big picture standpoint. So everyone's like, oh, Stroud's taking a step back. I don't agree with that necessarily. Even though numbers have been bad and he's my fantasy quarterback and that's been bad.
Yeah, no, the situation is just harder, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you said, the tools are clearly there. It's just you, for anything, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, then you just have to be in the right situation to succeed.
When we go back, like the Eagles, they're in second and two. Jalen Hurts' job is so much easier than in second and nine.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
So part of the reason Jalen Hurts, you know, is this is, I think he's playing better than last year. I think you'd agree. Maybe not as good as he was 2 years ago, but better than last year.
Definitely better than last year. Last year there were a lot of injuries, which, you know, to his credit and the Eagles' credit, they didn't talk about a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you've seen huge improvement this year.
Yeah, and I think part of that is he has AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Saquon Barkley. The offensive line can get 4 yards a pop or whatever. Detroit, same thing. Jared Goff can throw 5 interceptions, but then he can hit Amon-Ra St. Brown for a swing or a screen pass. He can hit Jahmyr Gibbs, hand the ball off to David Montgomery. Like, there's ways they can do it where they're always going to be in positive, ahead of the chains, positive situations. San Francisco is the same thing. Brock Purdy, I actually think this is Brock Purdy's best year. But generally speaking, he's never in second and long, third and long. I don't have the numbers on that, but just watching it, where Dallas is, Houston is in those crappy situations.
Uh-huh.
Now, Washington, Jaden Daniels can just erase a lot of that with his playmaking ability down the field and running the ball. But generally speaking, the best offenses can average 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, create explosive plays consistently and not be in third and long.
Yeah, no, football is a really simple game.
It's weird. It's literally just math, really, is all it is.
Sure, yeah.
Now, one team that isn't very good, and we mentioned the Falcons a little bit, but I was at the Saints-Falcons game, so I did want to talk about that and then the LSU game. The Saints-Falcons game was the funnest game I've been to in terms of, like, the atmosphere. There were so many Falcons fans, and everybody was, like, dancing and yelling at each other, but, like, in a jokey way, not, like, a mean way.
Right, yeah.
Like, and it was just so much. Literally, everybody was yelling, and, like, our whole section was, like, they knew each other by the end of the game. It was obviously in New Orleans, which is a super nice stadium on the inside.
Interesting. Yeah, because did they – yeah, well, they would have had to rebuild it recently after Katrina.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would I would love to see a game in New Orleans. That's yeah, I would put that in my top five of places that I'd like.
It
to
was
see
super
a game,
fun. I try to go to a Falcons game if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just because there were like so many Falcons fans. Then like the whole weekend we saw Falcons people, all in all the streets and stuff like Bourbon Street and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun.
Now, do you think that if this was a year where the Saints and Falcons were good, which I realize is not very much, that it would have been quite so friendly?
Yeah, maybe because the Saints suck, it wasn't as big a deal. I think so. Maybe not as much. Maybe it would have been more intense. But yeah.
And this is going to be relevant when we get into BYU and Utah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it helps, you know, that the Saints aren't as good as, like, but, you know, I like that they still go to the game, still have fun, you know, keep that environment up.
Yeah. Yeah, now before we get to the LSU-Bama game, which I was also at, which was a blast, Jacksonville sucks too. The Jaguars.
Yes.
I know we talked about that last week. But if I'm a head coach, if Trent Baalke's there, I'm not taking that job, assuming Doug Peterson isn't back next year.
It doesn't seem like he will be.
Do you know, I heard, this is also on Mina Kimes' show, Lamar Jackson's only played the Steelers once in the last 2 years.
Really?
With, like, injuries and things like that.
That surprises me, but I haven't paid it. I guess he has been injured a lot.
Yeah. So they're playing in Pittsburgh. The Ravens are favored. Russ has actually been kind of good this year.
Yeah, well, I think he's just, you know, not being asked to do quite as much. And by that, I mean Mike Tomlin has told him he's not going to do as much.
Yeah.
So I think that helps. I think that, like, there shouldn't be any shame for a quarterback being like, these are the things that I do well, so I'm going to try to do these things.
A.J. Brown is so good.
I love A.J. People are not talking about him quite so much because, A, he was injured, but, B, Saquon. But, man, when he gets a ball, it's so much fun.
They've run two plays in a row where there's, like, letting him run with the ball. I thought last year he could have been – he was on par with Christian McCaffrey. Maybe Christian, like, a quarter step behind McCaffrey, but, like, that important and that good of a player for Philadelphia.
Yes. No, yeah. It really did. Yeah, it's just one of those guys that changes the way that the other defense plays.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, and Christian McCaffrey were the three best offensive players, I thought, in the league last year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's fair.
It was nuts. Now, Alabama-LSU. You guys were going to college.
Yep, I think so.
In Baton Rouge. So much fun. Now, Alabama went down and scored a touchdown on the first drive. LSU kicked a field goal. Alabama went down and scored a touchdown. And it was kind of like, okay. Well, really, after the LSU field goal, it's kind of like the game's over.
Right.
So the atmosphere was nuts for like 10 minutes
yeah.
of live time. Not game time. But like before, it was super loud. I think the loudest stadium I've ever been in was Florida. But that was like a last play of the game situation. I think if this would have been a close game, LSU would have been louder. That, from sure. all accounts, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
It was still crazy loud. And stadium was packed. It's a huge stadium, obviously.
Right.
It's like 102,000 people. I've never seen a stadium empty so fast. Like, even my friends left. And I was like, guys, we paid like $400 for these tickets.
So did you have to go with him, or did you have a different car?
No, we were walking. Like, they didn't leave Baton Rouge. They just went to a bar to watch the UTBYU game.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And I was like, I am staying to the end of this stupid game.
Yeah, no, if you pay that much, you got to.
Well, yeah, also, how many times I can watch football in a sports bar whenever. How many times am I going to be in Baton Rouge for Alabama? Maybe one other time tops, probably only time in my life.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to. Yeah, it'll probably be a while before you get to go again.
There were probably 200 people by the end. We actually met, like, I was talking to the people in front of us, or, like, we were talking to the people in front, so I actually, like, stayed and hung out with them, and we actually moved down and got pretty good seats.
Yeah.
Well, our seats before were good, too, but, like, better ones.
Sure.
So I wasn't just sitting there by myself, which I was down to do. I almost left, and I was like, no, I can't. Like,
yeah.
It's LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the one where, like, I feel like, especially when we were kids, when people talk about stadiums, Death Valley was the one that always seemed to kind of get to the top.
Yeah.
Because Alabama was, like, Alabama when we were growing up was not quite what they are right now. You know, Georgia was not. And honestly, LSU wasn't either. Like, they had a few good years, but, you know, kind of USC and Texas, that was the first kind of, like, real big. Like, Ohio State and Michigan, I feel like, were even doing better than the SEC teams at that time.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Death Valley was kind of the thing.
Nick Saban kind of fixed LSU, because since, like, the 50s, they weren't really that good, especially consistently, which is sad, because they should have been. But Nick Saban came in, they won a national championship, and it's still not the consistency that it should be, because it should be top three team in the country every single year.
Right.
But it's been much better since Nick was there.
Yeah. And they still hate him.
Yeah. Now, you know how Alabama fans are, like, hating on Kalen DeBoer because he's lost twice?
Uh-huh.
Someone journalist asked him, like, have you thought about wearing white helmets? And he's basically like, no. And it's like, well, if they're mad at me for losing to Vanderbilt, I'm not going to change the dumb uniform.
Yeah, like, for sure.
He can't. He doesn't really have that credibility yet.
Also, like, how much, like, I'm sure they, like, they talk to the coach, but it doesn't seem like he'd be the one making that decision.
I don't know. I think, yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't know as much about college football, but I know that the BYU, we wear royal blue more because I think Kalani likes it. But, like, he doesn't pick when the blackout game is or whatever.
Yeah. That was, and we didn't talk about the BYU game, because that was the biggest call, like, from what I've seen on national media perspective, the biggest call or biggest play that people are talking about. I'll just be on record saying I thought it was a hold and should have been a penalty.
Yeah, there's, from the only angle that they saw on TV, I do understand why Utah fans don't think it was a hold. There was one that's like, kind of like where the play is happening at about 10 or 11 o'clock, where you can see very clearly that it is a hold.
Yeah.
But look, I said this after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl on what I did not think was a pass interference, even though James Bradbury said it was. If you don't want the refs to ruin the game for you, you have to be up by more than one possession.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, it just has to be a part of the game that, you know, the refs are human, that they're going to make 1 to 7 mistakes in the game.
Yeah.
Right. So you just have to take that into account.
That margin for error.
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, I think that people need to be talking about, BYU's defense did awesome. I think Utah got one first down in the second half, and they scored no points.
Yeah, Utah couldn't move the ball. Maybe they should do that.
Yeah, and so now we know that, like, Brandon Rose, he got hurt at some points. That was hurting his foot. So I know that was a part of it. But yeah, for BYU to go and drive that length of the field with no timeouts is pretty remarkable.
I haven't seen one person who's not a Utah fan say that it wasn't a hold. I have seen people say, well, you can't call it in that situation. Mm-hmm. Game of line. And I think I agree that, like, the ref should be consistent. So, like, if they weren't calling it earlier, they shouldn't call it later. But also, a hold is a hold.
Right.
And a penalty is a penalty. So you can't – there's not, like, a time rule. It's like – there's not, like, a chart. Like, oh, in this – if the game's this close with this amount of time, you don't call it. Like, you just have to call what is a penalty.
Yeah, people can't be allowed to break the rules because that's the situation's important.
So dumb. Yeah. It's like the Hail Marys, people are like, oh, they never call pass interference, so you can do whatever you want. Which I get, but also I was like, well, I think they should if it's a blatant pass interference.
Yeah, I think they should for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, BYU's 9-0 or 10-0 now?
I believe 9-0. I think 9-0.
And I think they're in, because they don't play Colorado, so they'd have to lose two of the next three to even maybe not, even in that situation, I think they might get it in the Big 12 championship. So there's a very good shot they're going to Dallas.
Yeah. So, and those games are Houston's the last one. This week is Kansas. And I forget who's in the middle.
Houston. Did you say Houston?
I thought Houston was last. I thought Houston was the last week of the season.
So, did you say Houston? Okay, so Houston.
Kansas.
Kansas is this week. Uh-huh. Could easily look it up, but it's bugging me. Is it UCF? No, you already played them.
We played UCF.
Is that Iowa State? No, you don't play them.
It's not Iowa State. It's not one of the good teams. It's like an Arizona State level team.
I think it is Arizona State, actually. Yeah. Because our buddy's going down to Tempe to watch that.
Oh, cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, and, like, I'll be honest, like I love the BYU, like I said about the Lions, that they're finding ways to win in tough situations when they're not playing their best. I feel like they're cutting it close enough that they could drop at least one of those games. I could see Kansas being a game where they're just on a high from beating Utah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, as we were talking about LSU, that was – I'm sure that LSU has been louder than Rice-Eccles, but that BYU-Utah game was the most I've heard the crowd noise on a TV ever before.
I would have loved – and I'm sure it was the quietest you've ever heard the crowd, too, after that field goal.
Yes.
There were probably actually a lot of BYU fans there.
No, there were a lot of BYU fans, and you could hear the BYU fans. And I think they may even, you know, change the microphones now so you can hear the crowd noise more at certain points of the game. Which, by the way, that kid grew up a BYU fan, went to Boise State, and then ends up transferring to BYU and then makes that kick to beat Utah. What a great story.
Yeah, I don't love the Boise State part.
Well, yeah, but he had to go to a worse off school so he could improve and be ready for BYU.
We'll go for him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and speaking of conference championship games, the SEC, we were texting about this, but there could be like 7 or 8 teams with 2 losses.
Yeah, that's going to be just a mess.
Like, did no one think through when we were adding 20 teams to this that it was possible there were going to be stupid tiebreakers like this? Like,
right.
And we're already seeing it.
Well, it does seem that if it's possible for 7 teams to end up with 2 losses, you got to think that a minimum of 4 will. You know what I mean? Like, and even 4 is like way too many. I think you can do a tiebreaker with 3 teams, but 4 is crazy.
Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think Alabama's losing again.
Sure.
I don't think Georgia's losing again. Uh-huh. I don't think Texas is losing again. Now, they'd only have 1 loss, so Texas would have 1 loss in that scenario.
Does Georgia have 1 loss or 2?
Georgia has 2 conference losses. Tennessee has 1, but they play Georgia, so I think they will have 2. Uh-huh. So I think it'd be, like, Texas A&M, I think Texas is going to be Texas A&M. So, like, a very conservative Georgia, Alabama, and Texas could all have 2 losses. I don't see a world where less than 3 teams have 2 losses. But let's say Texas A&M beats Texas, then that jumps up to 5 teams, I think, if my math is right.
Right, yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, that seems absolutely unfair. That's going to ruin, you know, like, what bowl game. Because even if they don't go to the playoff, you can go to a much better bowl game.
Well, you know, it's like, let's say just favorites went out, so Alabama plays Texas in the SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama loses, so they have three losses. I guess, well, realistically, they're going to put both Alabama and Georgia in. But, like, wouldn't you be pissed if you're Alabama if you, got in the SEC championship, lost, and that cost you the playoff spot?
That would be crazy.
I'd be furious
yeah.
if that happened. Where, like, Georgia, like, they lost to Alabama. Like, so Alabama would have beaten Georgia, gone to the SEC championship, so earned a right to play an extra game. I don't think that should count against you as much. I think if you win it, it's great. But especially now where there's like so it's so hard to get in and like you have to earn it, a loss there shouldn't penalize you to the point of like missing the playoff. If it drops you like a couple spots, that's fine. If you look terrible in it, or if you're like Florida State where your quarterback's out last year and you can't move the ball, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But
well, especially now that there's 12 spots, because when there were two, but even when there were only four spots in the playoffs, it was like, yeah, the playoffs really start conference championship week. You lose in the conference championship, you don't go to the playoff. With 12 spots, I think you're right. I don't think that winning an extra game should penalize you, which is, you know, something that I feel like has been said about LeBron a lot. We get mad at him because he's taken these terrible teams to the finals yeah. and then lost.
It's like, yeah, we'd look at him better if he lost in the Eastern Conference Finals more, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, what if, let's say that happens. So Alabama goes to the SEC championship, loses to Texas. So they have three losses. BYU, let's say they lose to Colorado in the Big 12 championship, undefeated to that point. I think that's a possibility. Colorado's been great.
Yeah, I think so too. I for sure. I think Colorado is good. I think they've lost to Utah and Nebraska, who are not great, but they're both good.
How mad would you be if Alabama got in and BYU didn't? In that scenario,
I would be very frustrated. I would not be surprised at all, but I'd be very frustrated.
I know the point of the games is to play the game, and it doesn't matter what we think would happen when we have data.
Uh huh.
It's just, especially after watching in person, but even without even just watching it, it's hard for me to think BYU would beat Alabama.
I agree, but I also just said that we shouldn't punish Alabama for losing in a conference championship that they earned their way into.
I think BYU should get in. Like, TCU got in with four teams in that, undefeated and lost in the conference championship.
Yeah.
So I don't think that'd be a real scenario, but it'd be one that would piss a lot of people off one way or the other.
Yes, it would. Yeah, and especially everybody in the SEC would be mad if BYU got in ahead 100%. Of Alabama.
Yeah, well, BYU gets in ahead of anybody. Like, I think if they get in ahead of, like, Missouri, SEC fans are going to be mad, which I don't
for sure.
At least Missouri fans.
Yes.
I don't think Missouri should even be in the top 25. I think – let's count. So, without looking like rankings or anything, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State will probably get in, BYU, Boise State, Indiana. That's only nine teams. I don't see those nine getting left out unless something crazy happens.
You're right.
And then we would still need three more teams on top of that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be fine. I think all this stuff is going to work itself out. Like, I don't really get worked up about ranking stuff because I just think it's all going to work itself out.
Yes. Yeah. There's going to be – because three more games than the conference championships. Yeah. Teams have plenty of time to win or lose more games.
I didn't mention the ACC. So Miami or SMU, possibly both. Ole Miss is another team that could get in and I think should. I think I mentioned Tennessee, though. So that could be the 12, those three other teams I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It's going to be fun. Maybe Texas A&M. If Texas A&M beats Texas, they'll be in.
That does come.
That would take a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think that'll happen, but we'll see. Should we do my picks?
Yeah, let's do them.
This week was tough, Matt. A lot of tough games to pick, but I went with a few I feel pretty good about. All favorites. Also on the season, 30-24-1, so pretty good record.
That is a good record.
So BYU, they're 3-point favorites against Kansas. I know you think there could be an emotional letdown, which I get. I just think BYU's a better team. Kansas has been the most disappointing team to me. It's in Provo, night to game. I think the students will be hyped. I know the football team could have a letdown. I think the students are going to be jacked up.
Students are going to be ready to go.
Yeah. Oregon minus 14. I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember who they're playing, but I think they'll win by a lot.
I think that's fair.
Clemson minus 10 against Pitt. Pitt started out really good, two-game losing streak. Clemson had that bad game against Louisville a couple weeks ago. I think they'll get back to it. Georgia's 10-point favorites against Tennessee. I only picked that because Nico might not play. If Nico does play, then I have to reevaluate it. But I just got it because, like, if Nico doesn't play, I want that. So I got that.
Yeah.
And then Washington -4 against – it might have been – it wasn't USC. Who was Washington playing? It was someone I was like, well, I just think Washington's a better team, and I think they can cover that. I don't like picking all favorites. Oh, UCLA. UCLA's been a bit of a lot of – again, Seattle at night, tough place to play. On a Friday, so short week two for UCLA.
For sure, yeah. And, yeah, UCLA's been disappointing for a number of years. So.
Yeah. So those are the top five. Ready for the – or, sorry, those are my picks. Are you ready for the top five?
I am ready for the top five.
Now, this is what we're talking about, I believe, on air, maybe off air. But we're talking about the top reading books, like most popular books read in high school.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And my link left me. So you have some time to think about it. As an English teacher –
So, and these are the books that get taught the most.
Yes.
In English class. Okay.
Let me find the list before you start guessing so I can tell yes or no.
Okay.
Because
okay.
My link, like, I actually am having a hard time finding the link again where, okay, this, I found it. Required reading. Yes. Okay. This looks right. Well, factor in some error, because I don't think this is, like, official.
Sure.
Yeah, but it was voted on by Goodreads.
Yeah, and they're definitely going to be books that are very high, whether, yeah, they're exactly that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. What was I about to say? To Kill a Mockingbird has to be on here.
It's number one.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because now it's banned in a lot of places.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely is banned in a lot of places, which is very, very bad. I would be curious to know how many of that is like a particular school district as opposed to is there an entire state that is banned at those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, but the book banning is bad and it's happening more. And if you have a chance, you should fight it. Let's see. Now it's like it could go a few different ways. Let's say 1984 could be on there, but I think more people would read Fahrenheit 451.
Neither of those are on this list that I'm looking at.
Neither of them are.
Okay. 1984 is number 11, Fahrenheit 451, 16.
Okay. So I'm in the right zone.
Yeah.
Let's see. Classic. So we had to read Crime and Punishment, but that's kind of more of an AP book, right? Like, you don't have to teach To Kill a Mockingbird AP kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Crime and Punishment is not on the list.
Are they all... Well, let me ask this. Are they all kind of like classic literature, or are there any that it would be maybe more modern?
There's one I've never heard of, but I think it's still classic.
Okay.
Everything else is... Every book, everything else on the list or the top like 20, I've like heard of and probably at least was assigned.
Yeah. Okay, good. Is Of Mice and Men on there?
It's number 7, so not in the top 5.
Okay, it should be in the top 5. It's phenomenal.
One more strike.
One more strike. Shoot. Oh, there's so many good books.
2 through 4 are super famous. 5 I've never heard of.
Okay.
But I think I've heard of the author.
Heard of the okay, well, I may ask for the author later. What about we, you know, before the broadcast we were talking about The Great Gatsby. Is The Great Gatsby on here?
It's number 3.
3, okay. Is Lord of the Flies on there?
Number 4.
Hey.
So you need 2 and 5. 2 is like the most famous thing in the world.
It's not a Shakespeare thing, right?
It is a Shakespeare thing.
It is a Shakespeare
thing. Yeah.
Oh, well, then it's a... You know, it's not his best play, but it's probably Romeo and Juliet?
It is.
Yeah.
Macbeth is number 6.
Macbeth is 6.
Yeah.
Interesting. I need to spend more time with Macbeth.
So number 5, you still got one more guess. The author is George Orwell.
Oh, shoot. did George Orwell write? Because it's not War of the Worlds. You would have heard of that. And I don't think that would be a top five on a high school list. Oh, did he do Animal Farm?
Yeah, that's it. That's number five.
That's it, yeah. Animal Farm. I'm interested by the premise of Animal Farm, but I have not read it.
Me neither. I've never even heard of it. Well, I guess it's famous as George Orwell.
Yeah, I think it's, from what I've been told, and it's possible that somebody didn't know, but the animals are on a farm, and then they're like, oh, it's bad that we're all being farmed, and then they take over the farm and then violently kill a lot of the humans. Or maybe they start where they're in charge of the farm and they're farming humans.
So it's kind of like Lord of the Flies for animals?
Something like that, but I think the idea is, I think it's partially like this is what we're doing to animals. I think there's at least an element of that, but I think it's supposed to be a little dystopian too. So I do think it's criticizing a little bit what the animals do. So, but again, I haven't read it. So if any of our listeners want to tell me how wrong I am, you definitely can.
Well, I didn't think you'd get that one. So we are 17-15 all time.
Oh, that's 17. That's fun. That's
a lot closer than I thought it'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody listening. Washington just scored, so maybe we'll turn it off and get Matt some better luck with the Eagles. If you're still here, 5-star review, subscribe, rate, all that stuff. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.